أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين.
A few verses from the prologue to the Quran. Greetings and welcome to Issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Tonight we talk about this book that, well, for a growing population of the world, is their holy book, the Quran. Islam is approaching 2 billion in the world and growing fast, and this is the book. That is the sound that occupies the minds of Muslims worldwide. What is the Quran? Where did it come from? What does it teach about God, about man? Is it akin to the New Testament, or to the Old Testament, or to the Christian scriptures? We're coming to you live this Sunday night, February the 18th. Everyone who calls in or emails us tonight will receive a free pamphlet called What About Islam? Our call-in number 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Joining us to talk about the Quran tonight, Dr. Adam Francisco. He's assistant professor of history at Concordia College in Bronxville, New York, and he's author of the forthcoming book, Martin Luther and Islam. Dr. Francisco, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Very well. The casual reader of the Quran, if he read it, sat down in an evening or two and went from cover to cover, what would he take away from it? What would be the overwhelming impression of its message or of this writing itself?
He or she would probably be befuddled. There have been several notable intellectuals who have commented how they picked up the Quran and they just couldn't get through it. It seems like an incoherent mess. It seems like there are narratives strewn or thrown together with other narratives from a different historical time period. And then it constantly reiterates over and over again that there is no God but God, and you hear this message over and over again, and it really is, and many Muslims do recognize this, that it does not seem to be orderly whatsoever. Also, for a Christian reader, you'll find many passages that contradict key Christian doctrines. For example, the teaching on the crucifixion is outright rejected. You also find some passages that seem complementary to Christianity, like the one that suggests that Mary was a virgin when she gave birth to Jesus, and other such things.
Can the Quran be compared to the Christian scriptures, and if so, how can it be compared?
Why, as far as its content is concerned, I don't think it can be compared. There are items in the Quran that seem to parallel the Christian and Jewish scriptures, but they contradict the scriptures in too many places to really seem to complement it. Now, you could say that the Quran is for the Muslim as the Bible is for the Christian. Although, really, a better comparison would be that the Quran is for a Muslim as Christ is for a Christian.
How is that?
Well, the Quran is seen as the word, the uncreated, eternal word of God, sort of inscripturated in a text. When a Muslim picks up his Quran and reads the Arabic text or recites it, really, it's as if God is speaking from all eternity.
So what place of authority does the Quran occupy in the Islamic religion?
It is the chief authority. If you ask a conservative Muslim what their authority is, they will say not just the Quran, though, but the Quran and the Sunnah, so the Quran and the traditions. The traditions are those things that Muhammad said and did which weren't seen as revelatory, but still, because the Quran enjoins to every reader that they obey God and the Prophet, Muslims turn to the traditions, which are sort of encapsulated in this body of literature known as the Hadith, Muslims will turn to that for guidance in their everyday life.
So you said chief authority. Mm-hmm. It is the authority from which, at least ostensibly, these other traditions flow?
Yes, and the interesting thing about the Quran is that it's not too specific as far as laws are concerned, or Islamic law. You know, Islamic law or the Sharia is drawn primarily from the Hadiths, because every question imaginable is answered in those. The early Muslim community, whenever anybody had a question about how they should act or what they should do, they would go to Muhammad and he would give a ruling. You'll find passages in the Hadith that describe Muhammad's appearance. For example, his beard was said to have been trimmed nicely around the mustache part, but the rest was he let grow out, and his beard also had a reddish tint, some of these traditions say, and so really austere Muslims will imitate that. Their mustache will be nicely trimmed, but their beard will be thick and unkept, and some will even splash some reddish tint in there.
The casual reader of the Quran might be surprised, and you mentioned this just a moment ago, that the Quran has quite a bit to say about Jesus, or at least the Quranic version of Jesus. What does it say in summary?
Probably the best passage from the Quran that encapsulates its teaching on Jesus is chapter 4, verse 171. It says that Jesus was no more than a messenger of God. He was born of a virgin, but he is no more than a messenger of God. He is not, and the Quran flatly contradicts this, that he was not the divine Son of God, rather just a person, just a human being, who, like other prophets, was, Islamic tradition tells us, sinless, but still a human being nonetheless.
I notice in that passage that you cite there, 171 of chapter 4, Jesus is referred to as the Messiah. Should a Christian reader of the Quran say, oh, okay, they understand Jesus to be a savior, as they would in full-blown Christian theology, the one who came to pay the price for our sins in his atoning death?
No, in the Arabic, the term for Messiah is just an honorific title. It doesn't refer to an anointed one who is coming to rescue mankind from his depraved state. Rather, it's just an honorific title, and one might infer, though, that when it refers to Christ as the Messiah, that maybe Muhammad or even the early Muslims may have gotten that from the Christians and Jews that were living in the Arabian Peninsula at that time. So many people have speculated that much of what's in the Quran was derived from the Jewish and Christian scriptures.
You mentioned this before, but let's make it a little more clear. Is there anything akin to the narrative, or at least mentioning a crucifixion of Jesus, or even a resurrection?
There is a passage where it has a Jewish community saying, "We are the ones who killed Christ," and the Quran responds, or God allegedly responds, that no, you did not. One who took his likeness was crucified in his place. So the crucifixion was not accomplished according to the Quran. Muslim theologians rationalize this and say that it was ill-fitting for a sinless prophet to be crucified, and so God sort of orchestrated his replacement. Most would say Judas took his place.
Real quickly, before we go to this break, who is Allah, or God, according to the Quran?
Allah is the creator who created the earth in 6 days, according to the Quran. He's merciful and just, as you read over and over again in the Quran. Most importantly, at least for a Christian reader, he is one who does not beget. He cannot have a son. It is unfitting for God to have a son, according to the Quran.
We'll talk more about that on the other side of this break. The Quran is our subject. Dr. Adam Francisco is our guest. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address as we come to you this Sunday night, February the 18th, issues@kfuo.org. We are giving away a free pamphlet called What About Islam to everyone who calls or emails us tonight. 1-800-730-2727, or issues etc@kfuo.org. A big question that's always rolled around in my head when it comes to the difference between the God of the Quran and the God of Holy Scripture is, well, the God of Holy Scripture reveals himself through the incarnate Son, Jesus Christ, through his perfect life, death, and resurrection. Is the Quran Allah's self-revelation? And is this a God who is near or far? We'll answer that after this.
During the 20th century, there was a fierce battle in most American church bodies over the authority of Scripture. Doubts were raised over the miracles in both the Old and New Testaments. One of those battles took place in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for February is titled A Seminary in Crisis. This resource details the battle between liberals and conservatives on the Concordia Seminary faculty in the early 1970s. You can find out more about A Seminary in Crisis on our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A Seminary in Crisis is written by Dr. Paul Zimmerman, one of two surviving members of a fact-finding committee appointed by the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Dr. J.A.O. Preuss. A Seminary in Crisis, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Has your pastor ever accused you of being an adulterer, a murderer, or a thief? If not, he's not doing his job. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the Next Issues Etc. journal called The Law's Accusations, and we'll send you a free complimentary copy. Just call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. Can you have the sweetness of the gospel without the sternness of God's holy law? Find out with the Issues Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172. Plus, the Wittenberg Trail feature details Chris Rosebro's journey from the man-made holiness of the Nazarene Church to the Christ-given holiness of the Reformation. 1-800-737-0172. Now, if you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172. Ask for a free complimentary copy of the Issues Etc. journal. Folks, as never before, the church needs faithful pastors for the 21st century who are prepared and brave enough to deal with all kinds of false teaching, including Islam. Now, here's one way you can plant a seed for a future pastor. Send a young man from your congregation to Christ Academy this summer. It's a 2-week residential program where high school-aged men can experience seminary life and explore the possibility of becoming a pastor. Christ Academy takes place this summer, June the 17th through the 30th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information on Christ Academy, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the logo, their logo, right there at our homepage. Or you can call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, their toll-free number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, and ask about Christ Academy. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Our guest, Dr. Adam Francisco. Our topic, the Quran. Christians understand the Bible to be God's personal self-revelation, culminating, of course, in the incarnation and the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is the Quran understood by the Muslims to be Allah's personal self-revelation?
Yes, it's this is the eternal speech of God, according to a Muslim. And so when, if you visit a mosque during prayer time, you will hear the Quran being recited. Oftentimes it sounds quite beautiful if you take it at face or sort of an aesthetic value. But when it is recited, it is as if God is speaking from all eternity. So it is the self-revelation of God.
Who is man according to the Quran?
Well, human beings were part of God's creation, his six-day creation in the Quran. Human beings, however, although the Quran does refer to the fall of Adam and Eve, it is not the fall in the sense that Christians interpret Genesis, the Genesis account, but and therefore for Muslims, the man or human beings are not inherently sinful. They're not predisposed to hate God, to turn from him, as Paul tells us in Romans, but rather, in fact, the Quran says that mankind, because he is born in a state of righteousness, he can do all he needs to do to achieve salvation.
So man is morally pristine?
Potentially morally pristine. Of course, throughout your life, throughout a Muslim's life, they will fall off what they call the straight path, but one does not necessarily need to ask for forgiveness. You just need to sort of pull up your bootstraps and get back on the straight path.
Is there an estrangement? I mean, the Christian doctrine of original sin is quite clear in both Old and New Testament that man is alienated, estranged, and in a hostile relationship with his Creator. Is there anything akin to that in the Quran?
No, not really. One should, according to the Quran, one should fear God, but not because they are inherently sinful and they have this estranged relationship, but rather because God is merciful or because God is just. And so one should always strive to do their best. And if you do your best, you know that God will be pleased with you.
If that is man's condition, then is there anything like salvation, a teaching of salvation, that one would find in Christian scripture in the Quran?
No, it's Islam is a pure works righteous religion. Now, you do hear about Allah being merciful throughout the Quran, but as far as salvation is concerned, it is based solely upon man's work and striving to stay on the right path. There's no atonement. There's no declaration of righteousness. In fact, you don't need one in Islam because you are potentially righteous so long as you stay on that right path.
That's what struck me in my reading of the Quran is how often, I mean, almost I think every chapter and many of the sections of the chapters begin with phrases like Allah is just and merciful.
Mm-hmm.
The mercy of Allah seems to be a major theme in along with his justice in the Quran, chapter to chapter. And it talks about Allah forgiving or not forgiving. But is this like the forgiveness that the Christian scriptures teach, that God has for sinners for Christ's sake?
No, you really get a sense, and I don't know if you did, but I do. I get a sense that God forgives capriciously. He doesn't forgive on the basis of the death of his son, like you have in Christianity, but he forgives as he wills, it seems.
So this is a transcendent God who may or may not forgive you if you fall off the path of God. What, the Muslim would simply hope that Allah's caprice works in his favor?
Yes. If you stay on that right path, if you follow the Islamic law and you imitate the Prophet to the best of your abilities, you can be reasonably certain that you'll receive eternal life. But there is no 100% certainty. The only certainty, of course, is if you die struggling in the path of God, struggle being the jihad.
We've got about a minute and a half before we go to this break. There's a lingering question, and it has to do with I know that you're working on a forthcoming book, Martin Luther and Islam. Luther was familiar with Islam. The Turk was breathing down the neck of Western Europe during the Reformation. Luther even was anxious to study the Quran to understand what this religion was all about. Would he agree with Christians, many Christians today, who think that Muslims and Christians worship the same God?
No, not at all. He, in fact, refers to Allah as the devil and the Muslims of his day, the Turks, as being the minions of Satan. For Luther, the touchstone of true religion is how it speaks about Christ, and he finds that that the teachings of the Quran completely contradicted the teachings of Christ found in the New Testament, and therefore it was a false religion.
We're talking about the Quran tonight. Dr. Adam Francisco is our guest. He's assistant professor of history at Concordia College in Bronxville, New York, and he's authoring a forthcoming book. I mentioned it just a moment ago, Martin Luther and Islam. Folks, we're going to be sending out the mailing list for the next Issues Etc. journal to the printer tomorrow afternoon. That means if you want to receive a free complimentary copy of the next Issues Etc. journal, you need to call by noon Central Time tomorrow, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Now, the next issue contains my article called The Law's Accusations. Along with that, Issues Etc., regular guest Chris Roseborough writes about his journey from legalism to grace in Jesus Christ. And I've got a very unique offering in the journal this time, a chance for you to examine your law-keeping. If you think you're one of those people out there keeping the law, you're going to really want to read this article titled A Form for Self-Examination Based on the Ten Commandments. It's all in the next Issues Etc. journal, and we'll send it to you for free. You got to call by noon Central Time tomorrow, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. In fact, get a jump on it. This break is a great time to call that resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. Your phone calls and your email on the Quran after this break. We will deal with one more issue, and then we're going to go straight to the phones and to our email. Our email right here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org, and our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Everyone who calls or emails us tonight as we talk about the Quran with Dr. Adam Francisco gets a free copy of this pamphlet called What About Islam? 1-800-730-2727 or our in-studio email address with questions or comments on the Quran, issuesetc@kfuo.org. When we come back from this break, is the Quran true or is it false? Some people say, well, it contains a little truth, doesn't it? We'll answer that question after this. President Dean Wenthy on the future of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
In every way, I can't believe the blessings that we have been given, as we Lutherans say, not with any merit or worthiness on our part, but by God's grace, he continues to lead talented, dedicated men and women to give their lives to him and to the truth of the gospel. And I'd like to invite any of your listeners to come and visit us, but more than visit, worship with us, be my guest for a campus tour, and see how our life revolves around this wonderful truth that the incarnate Christ has brought to our world.
To accept Dr. Wenthy's invitation for an on-campus tour at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, call 1-800-481-2155.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Response to the new I Have Issues t-shirts has been so positive that we've decided to continue the promotion through the Epiphany season. Now you can get your very own I Have Issues t-shirt by joining our monthly or annual donor program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, before February 21st. Now on this t-shirt, you'll find the statement, I Have Issues, on the back, the Issues Etc. logo, our website address, and the slogan, Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian. Now, anyone who joins the Issues Etc. Reformation Club before Ash Wednesday will receive the I Have Issues t-shirt, plus other membership benefits like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. Now, for more information on the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. We'll also send an Issues Etc. t-shirt, travel mug, and pen to current Reformation Club members who upgrade their membership. It's the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Martin Luther once called the doctrine of justification the doctrine by which the church stands or falls. What is the central nature of this teaching? and why is it so important? Here's Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
Paul articulates for us more clearly than anywhere else in Scripture that great biblical doctrine of justification, that as the sinner stands before the righteous judge, he is declared to be not guilty because of that which Christ has done for us. When God the judge looks on us, he sees not our sins, not our failures and our flaws, but the pure white robe of Christ's righteousness. And we are declared to be justified, not guilty, because of that which Christ has done for us.
Issues Etc., the radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
You know, if you look at the Quran, it talks about God as both the majestic King and the One on High, and at the same time, the One that is closer to us than our own being. Or, you know, there's this lovely phrase in the Quran, that God is closer to you than the beating of your own heart.
It's Ahmed Safi, he's Associate Professor of Islamic Studies at Colgate University, talking about God in the Quran, Allah. We're talking about the Quran. Dr. Adam Francisco is our guest. Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, has an invitation for you. It's to attend the LCMS Conference on Mercy, April the 30th through May the 2nd here in St. Louis. Now, speakers include Pastor Matt Harrison and Tim Gagline. He's Special Assistant to President George W. Bush. And there's an evening of entertainment with Max Jazz recording artist Aaron Bodie at the conference. For more information, just look for the LCMS Conference on Mercy logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's the LCMS Conference on Mercy, April the 30th through May the 2nd, here in St. Louis. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's go to the phones to Palo Alto, California, where Mike is listening on KFAX. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
What's your question or comment?
The Quran can only be read in Arabic script, and I was wondering, does this parallel the early church teaching regarding the common man's reading the Bible being impossible?
All right, Mike, thank you very much. What about the fact that the Quran is originally in Arabic? What's the significance there, Dr. Francisco?
In the Quran itself, God says that he is delivered through Muhammad this in the Arabic tongue his revelation, and so Arabic is the Muslims see Arabic as a special language for God's revelation. You will, if you criticize the Quran in a Muslim context, the first thing they will ask you is well, have you read it in Arabic? Really, it does not matter if you've read it in Arabic or not. If you're trying to grasp the content, you can read it in English and still get the gist of the Quran. But Arabic sort of acts, it's almost as if they use it as a way to protect the critique of the Quran. Historically they've refused to let it be translated, even though it was translated very early in their history into Persian. But Arabic is just seen as a special vehicle for God's revelation in the Quran. So,
with that said, before we go to the next caller, do Does the average Muslim know Arabic? Can he deal with his holy book in its inspired original language?
You know, I think there's about 150 Arab Muslims, and there's 1.5, at least 1.5 billion Muslims worldwide. So very few Muslims speak Arabic as their native language. Many Muslims do learn Arabic for the sole purpose of reciting the Quran, but many of them don't learn Arabic so that they can understand the Quran, but simply so they can read it or so that they can recite it. They're not concerned with grasping the content or the theology of the Quran. It's more important to be able to recite it out loud. And so most Muslims do not understand classical Arabic.
Nate is listening in Austin, Texas on KLGO. Hi, Nate. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Todd. Question. Someone once told me that Muhammad's understanding of Christianity may have come from the fact that he, at least one or some of his wives may have been from a Christian background. Is there any, do we know anything about that?
Thank you, Nate. Dr. Francisco?
Boy, I don't know if any of his wives came from a Christian background, but certainly his wife's cousin, his first wife, Khadija's cousin, was a Christian. In fact, when Muhammad first received revelations in this cave in 610 AD, he originally thought he may have been possessed by a demon or demons were talking to him, so he ran home real quickly and asked his wife, Khadija, if he was possessed, and she said, no, it seems like you're a prophet, and she then turned to her cousin, who was a Christian, probably a Nestorian or some other heresy, and her cousin, Khadija's cousin, actually said, no, you are a man destined to be a prophet.
What about the Christianity to which Muhammad was exposed? Do we have reason to believe that it was Orthodox Christianity, or was it, in fact, some heretical version of Christianity, like you mentioned, Nestorianism?
Yeah, it was in the Arabian Peninsula. It was the strong majority of Christians there were those whose families had been expelled out of the Byzantine Empire for being heretics, either Nestorians or Eutychians, monotheletists, all sorts of heresies. So even Gnostics, it is said, could be found in the Arabian Peninsula.
Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's go to Texas, where Mohammed listens. Mohammed, welcome.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate this interesting conversation. I would appreciate if Dr. Francisco can talk about the chapter 19, which is dedicated to the mother of Jesus, Surah Maryam, which talks about the miraculous birth of Jesus and his speech when he just born, when he was an infant. If Dr. Francisco can shed some light on that.
Thank you very much. It's a good question. Chapter 19, then, Dr. Francisco, dedicated to Mary.
Passage? When is it the Annunciation passage?
I don't know what passage Muhammad was referring to. He simply wanted you to shed some light on this chapter that is dedicated, and he said it was chapter 19.
Okay.
Dedicated to the mother of Jesus, Mary.
Yes, it's Mary is revered in Islam. The whole chapter is the Surah of Mary, the chapter of Mary, and it's dedicated to the mother of Jesus. I believe it's, there's several verses in the chapter, but I believe the Annunciation is in this chapter, where it is where Mary is told by an angel that she will give birth to Jesus. Luther himself, who of course was a staunch critic of Islam, said that there are a few points where Islam and Christianity agree, and one is in its praise of Mary.
And anything, Muhammad asked, anything, any of your thoughts on the fact that there is miraculous speech attributed to the child Jesus in that 19th chapter dedicated to Mary?
Oh, miraculous. I wonder if he's, boy, miraculous speech. I think he may be referring to the Annunciation, how it predicts that Jesus will be a prophet, and therefore his words will be revelatory. I think that's probably what he's referring to. Without not having it sitting in front of me, it's hard to comment.
Mark is listening in Denver on KRKS. Hi, Mark.
Hi. How you doing?
Very well.
Good. Well, thanks for taking my call and for your guest. I have two quick questions. I am a Christian who's also has studied the Quran, and I do. I wanted to ask your guest what the Muslims think about that part in the Quran where it says that they all Muslims ought to follow all of God's revelation, which in the passages seem to imply that they should have followed, the Hebrew and the Christian prophets. And then the second question was simply whether it is true whether Jesus in the God in Aramaic, the language of the Jews, whether that was Allah.
Thank you very much, Mark. A couple questions there with only a minute to respond here before we go to our break. Dr. Francisco?
Okay, there are a few passages that the Quran enjoins people to follow, not just the Quran, but all the former books, the Gospel and the Torah. These passages allegedly were revealed early in Muhammad's ministry, and so at least my take on it is once he learns that these earlier books actually contradict what he's saying, then the doctrine of tarif, or corruption, is revealed in the Quran, which says that Jews and Christians have corrupted the text of Scripture in some way, whether it be textually or in their interpretation of the Scripture.
And then Mark also briefly asked about whether or not in Aramaic, the language common in first century Palestine among the Jews, whether or not God would have been referred to as Allah, as he is in Arabic.
Oh, boy. I don't know that for sure, but I would probably guess yes, but I'm not for sure on that one.
Dr. Adam Francisco is our guest. He's assistant professor of history at Concordia College in Bronxville, New York, and he's author of the forthcoming book, Martin Luther and Islam. We're talking about the Quran tonight on Issues, Etc. Next week on the program, we're going to discuss the battle for the Bible in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Our two guests, Drs. Paul Zimmerman and Carl Barth. Why did some churches abandon the authority of Scripture recently, and why did some decide to stay with it? What can Christians in the 21st century learn from the battle for the Bible in the 20th century? We'll talk about all of that next week with Drs. Paul Zimmerman and Carl Barth. By the way, next week's conversation is occasioned by our Issues, Etc. book of the month for February. It's called A Seminary in Crisis. For more information on A Seminary in Crisis, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or look for the cover of the book, A Seminary in Crisis, at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's the Issues, Etc. book of the month for February. When we come back, 10 more minutes with Dr. Adam Francisco on the Quran, your email and your phone calls after this. Pastor John Folley of LCMS World Relief on its ongoing efforts to help the victims of Hurricane Katrina.
We are continuing to be involved in the response to Hurricane Katrina, continuing to partner with the Southern District and meeting the long-range and long-term needs of the Lutheran churches and schools and church workers and the community at large through Camp Restore, with helping them to rebuild.
To find out how you can continue to support the victims of Hurricane Katrina, look for the LCMS World Relief logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 1-888-930-4438. Ask about Camp Restore, 1-888-930-4438. LCMS World Relief.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Noted author and Christian apologist Craig Hawkins on why you should support Issues, Etc.
It's my pleasure to recommend to you Issues, Etc. It's one of the few programs discussing crucial concerns for Christians. It's done in a dynamic format, again, discussing crucial issues, and in an insightful manner. The program is very much needed. In my opinion, it's one of the most important broadcasts on the air, and it's one of my favorites. So if you want to grow in your faith, know what you believe and why, then this program is for you. I want to encourage you to listen, and I want to encourage you to support the broadcast, both prayerfully and financially.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line. That number is 1-800-737-0172.
Folks, you have 3 days left, but only 3 days left to receive the new I Have Issues t-shirt. We're sending it out to everyone who joins our monthly or annual donor program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, before Ash Wednesday. And Ash Wednesday is this coming Wednesday. Now, Reformation Club benefits include premiums like monthly tapes and books and transcripts. You can find out more. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses right there at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Now, you can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by credit card. Just call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. You can join by check. Write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. You can also join online. Our website address, again, issuesetc.org. Consider partnering with us by joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club this week. We've got 10 minutes left for your phone calls and your email, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's talk with Vernell in Washington, D.C. Hi, Vernell.
Hello.
Hello. What's your question or comment?
My comment is from many of the publications relative that are relate to the Quran and the teachings of the Quran from different authors. I won't mention them, but there are so many problems with it. Even the fact that it was written 600 years after the somewhere around 600 years after the New Testament. I think what the Quran does is it corrupts the teachings of the Bible. There are many problems with they claim Abraham's father's name was Azar when it was really Terah. They have problems with Mary. I heard you mention the chapter 19 in the Quran, which is devoted to Mary. Also, Surah 3 of the Quran says that Mary was devoted to Allah, to worship Allah. There are many problems with it, being that it came after the New Testament even was written.
Vernell, thank you very much. Is there any doubt in your mind, Dr. Francisco, that the Quran is a corrupted text and, in fact, corrupt in how it attempts to communicate truths of the Old and New Testament?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Whereas the Quran accuses the gospel and the Torah as being corrupted, it's actually the Quran that is corrupted. There's no doubt in my mind that whoever, whether it was Muhammad or those who followed after him, that they borrowed from the Old New Testament and other sort of religious teachings in the Arabian Peninsula and constructed this text. So, and how that all happened is uncertain. But there is a growing body of scholars who are looking at the origins of Islam critically and coming up with the same conclusions.
Listening on KRKS in Denver, Alan, thanks for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello, how are you? Thank you very much for taking my question.
Sure.
Recently, I've had some dialogue with some Muslims, and it seems to go back to everything in Arabic, as you were saying earlier. Is there some Aramaic text that I can use to show them some of the error in the Quran? And I guess I'm not sure of my question, that aspect. But they say that they don't understand any of the Aramaic, and they understand that from Abraham there was some text that might say that God would provide himself the sacrifice, which would be a precursor of Christ coming.
Alan, let's see what we can do with your question, and thanks for listening there in Denver. Your thoughts, Dr. Francisco?
Dealing with looking at the Aramaic, I think if I understand him correctly, he is asking if looking at the Old Testament or looking at Aramaic, which in the Old Testament was Hebrew with Daniel being in Aramaic, whether you can find prophecies of Christ. Did I understand that correctly?
Well, I think what he's maybe an apologetic question. Is mm-hmm. there any way of pointing to the text of the Old Testament? I'm doing my best with this question. Pointing to the text of the Old Testament to gainsay the text, the Arabic text of the Quran. Would a Muslim take that argument seriously?
That actually, a very good question, a complex question. No, I don't think so. I think while they will pay lip service to the Torah, they'll say, of course, the Quran reveres the Torah. Really, they won't. They don't give it any authority. Most wouldn't, at least. There's no reason to turn to the Torah simply because you have the Quran, which is the Al-Furqan, as they say, the decider of right and wrong teachings.
Let's get another phone call in here. This one comes from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, where Tim is listening on WEMI. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I'd like to know if Islam is a legitimate religion and not a cult, why does it advance its religion by killing people or threat of killing them if they don't convert? They're the only religion that suicide bombers, the only religion that they kill people to like advance their religion.
Tim, thank you very much. Dr. Francisco, your response.
Yeah, oh boy, that's important question. Really, what these Islamists are after, first and foremost, is to rid the traditional Muslim lands of the infidel. Some will go further to and say that what they're trying to do is create a global Islamic ummah, a global Islamic community. What they're really after is changing the political structures, the political structures of society, not necessarily to convert people to Islam in a religious or theological sense, although that is, of course, desirable. Throughout Islamic history, there have been cases of forced conversions, but there have also been cases of great tolerance. In fact, in the early Muslim expansion, right after Muhammad dies, the Arabs weren't necessarily interested in bringing about the religious conversion of the peoples because they knew they could tax them more and therefore gain more revenue. In Islamic law, mm-hmm. if you're a non-Muslim, you have to pay an additional tax to remain unmolested in Muslim society. So they oftentimes didn't want people to convert.
Well, picking up, I guess, theologically on Tim's final question there, my final question for you in this hour is, someone reads the Quran, and they don't know if they're dealing with a true or a false religion, but they say, look, there's some truth in it. It seems to get some things right about Jesus, or maybe some things right about God, and then there's some falsehood in there. Is it true? Is it a true revelation, or is it false?
If you're asking me, I'm saying false. Yes, it's true. There are, because it seems to have pulled from the Bible. Obviously, some truth remains, but the truth is very minimal. And it's if you reject first the doctrine or the classic teachings on the person and work of Christ, and reject the teaching or the doctrine of justification, then you have a false religion, and I would have to say a false revelation.
Folks, you'll find several articles on Islam posted under the What's New section of our website. The address, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. That's really the point, isn't it? Just lay side by side, if you would, honestly, the Jesus found in the Old and New Testaments of Christian Scripture. Let's just call him the scriptural Jesus. And the Jesus found, and he's all over the place, at least the name is, in the Quran. Let's call him the Quranic Jesus. Lay them side by side. Compare them. You don't even have to compare the true God of Holy Scripture to Allah. in the Quran. Let's just focus on who Jesus is in Scripture, who Jesus is in the Quran. In the Quran, he is a prophet. He is sinless. He is born of a virgin. He's a great example, among other examples, like Muhammad himself. They even have sections in there talking about how Jesus will return on the last day at a great resurrection to stand beside Muhammad in a resurrection. But if he is merely a prophet and an example of how to follow the true path to God, he doesn't do you any good. A Jesus who merely comes to say, here's how to obey rightly, here's how to do this or do that or not do this or not do that. A Jesus who comes merely to teach and to provide an example does me no good whatsoever. I do not need a teacher or a prophet. I need a Savior. And that is the Savior we find in that scriptural Jesus, Old and New Testament, the one who comes not primarily to teach or to show by way of example, but to do, to accomplish, to live as my substitute, a perfect life in the place of my disobedience, and to die in my place, the death of a sinner under the wrath and punishment of God, and to rise again from the dead on the third day as the sign that his sacrifice for my sins and your sins is accepted by a God who is merciful and loving and just and forgiving for his son's sake, for the sake of Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.